I got a, it's a harsh message. I don't want to preach a harsh message, but it is. I got to do what you got to do. And it's convictions on me. It's things that have convicted my heart that I've seen, and they're very apparent to me on this trip. And it started with you, preacher. You preached on Balaam there 2 weeks ago, and I couldn't get it off my mind. And me and my buddy, I talked my friend Matt into going with me, and God was in that. He pastors Mountain View, and he's a lot like me. We grew up four doors apart. We're cousins. And man, I like him. I like being with him. And we went down, and we was talking about Balaam on the way down, and he mentioned some things, and it's been on my heart all week. And that's where we're going to start. And I don't really have a title for it. It's a collection of thoughts, collection of verses, and I call it obedience and sensitivity. Oh, so we'll start in Numbers, old Balaam, chapter 22. We'll skip on down. You know that old Balak from Moab, they sent for him, and he inquired of God, and God told him no, and he told them no. Well, old Moab, king of Moab, sent some more men there. He sent for him again to do it, and this is verse 6. Verse 15. And Balak sent yet more again princes, more and more honorable than they. Old Balak's trying even harder to turn that man of God's eyes to do what he wants him to do. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." As you said, preacher, I remember 2 weeks ago you said he's the one that brought up the silver and gold. It was already on his mind. It was already on his heart. His old outward man already had a desire, and it was a warring with the desire of the inward man. You see, this man can hear God. This man knows God. This man today would be a Christian, because only Christians know God and can hear God. This is the Old Testament, but that outward man's warring against him. "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." God told him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them." Look right here. It's the outer man won right here. "And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab." They didn't come call him. He already knew what he wanted to do in his heart. That outward man won the fight. And that's awful. And God's anger was kindled. And that's going to happen to every Christian when the outer man wins the fight and you do what's contrary to his holy word. That's what's going to happen, is God's anger will be kindled. Oh, because he went. "And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and with his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side." The old man, the old outer man, got so stirred up, and the inner man so stifled, that he couldn't even see this holy thing before him, that an old beast without a soul could lay eyes on a holy thing. But he's so contrary to the word of God that he can't even see it. That's scary, ain't it? It's scary to me. It's on my heart all the way down there. I say, this man knows the voice of the Lord, yet we let our outer man. And the rest of the story is, the Lord opened his eyes to it and he saw it, and I believe later on he repented, which is wonderful. But he was going to let that outer man win. And that's awful. So what happens when you let your outer man win? If you turn with me to James chapter 4. I'm sorry, let's see here. Wrong. I got it marked, I promise. There it is. Oh, Chapter 4, from hence come wars and fightings among you. Come they not hence even of your own lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Oh, Balaam, all he wanted was that silver and gold. And God told him no, and he tried to go anyways. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Oh, that's scary. That's scary. That applies to Christians. I've been an enemy to God many a times. That's right, I said it. In my Christian life, I have failed the Lord time and time again. I've told filthy jokes. I've done filthy things, looked on things I shouldn't have. I've went against God. I've been his enemy. The one that loves me so much, he sent his only begotten son. Ain't that awful? It convicted my heart when I read that. Convicted my heart. All the years I spent in wickedness, and yet, Lord, to be long-suffering. And he bore with me. He knew I'd yield. He knew that my eyes would open one day. And we'll get to that here in a minute. But he gave us more grace. Thank you. Glory to God. He let me go years in the wrong. I did a lot more wrong in those years than I did right. I was not God's friend those years. Though I didn't have a closer friend, he was my friend more than any other could ever be. But I was not his. Oh, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I went on that first mission trip, and I'll get to that in a bit. And something opened. Lord, let me see things. Probably kind of like you let old Balaam see that angel in the way. I got humble, you see. It says, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. If a Christian man's pride rises up and you let the outer man continue to win, you will fall. You may even die. He may even pull you out if you won't turn. Because God is right, and God don't change. This word is right, and this word don't change. Oh, submit yourselves therefore to God. If you'll get humble and you'll surrender, if there's an obstruction in your life, Christians, if there's something keeping you from being a friend of God, if there's something keeping you from walking with him day and day and being full of the Holy Ghost so much that it's a brimming over, if there's something hindering you that, all you got to do is humble yourself. Oh, submit yourselves therefore to God. Give it to him. He wants it. Every care, every burden, every sin, every blot, every stain, he wants it. Before you're saved and after you're saved. Lost man, he'll take them, every one. You can be saved. I've heard I can't live it, but God doesn't save you. He pulls you out of your sins. He'll come get you. Oh, you just got to let him do it. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. When the old world's a dog piling on and your old flesh is saying that you got to yield, you got to yield, it'll be okay. God will forgive you. I heard that last night at work. This old wicked man I work with, I don't even know what it came up, but he knows how I stand and what I stand on. And he said, you know, you can give in every now and again. God will forgive you. All you got to do is ask him. And I looked at him and I said, the consequences of sin is death. It'll cost you something. Oh, it'll cost you. Oh, I'll tell you what it'd cost me if I'd give in and he got wind of it. It cost my testimony with that man. The reason he brought it up out of the blue, I didn't say nothing in any way for him to bring that up. The reason he brought it up, apparently he's convicted about something. And if I'd yield, it'd kill that. He might not ever know God, but I don't want to be the reason why. Oh, 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 glory, oh, oh, it says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You just grab hold of this book and the one that formed this earth, the one that this is his footstool, grab hold of him, oh, glory, and you'll get through it. Yeah, you might think you're going to crumble and fall. The inner man will get stronger. Don't feed that outer man. All you're doing is making him stronger. Feed that inner man.
Oh, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. That's the next verse. Verse 8. Oh, verse 7, it said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Verse 8 is, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Can't be lukewarm. It says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. You can't be friends to both. You can't. Oh. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. When that old sin's a-waging and that old carnal outer man's again you, I don't care what kind of addiction you got. I don't care what that old carnal man wants. I'm here to tell you, grab a hold of God. Oh, mourn. He'll lift you up. I don't care if it's drugs or alcohol, whatever it is. God's bigger than all that. He knows what you're made of. He formed you. Oh. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speak the evil of the law and judgeth the law. And if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. If you see these things, don't judge them. I guarantee you, you got an addiction. You got something that carnal man latches on to just as strong as whatever they got. Don't look down on somebody because they got a problem. You got one that maybe they can't see. Oh, and that takes us right over into Luke. Let's see. Oh, right over into Luke. Oh, and he spake a parable. This is verse 39 of chapter 6. And he spoke a parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master. But every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest thou not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. But don't you know, you can't fix somebody else's sins. I can't fix your sins. You can't fix my sins. But there's one who can, and you can tell him about them. Tell him about Jesus. Oh, maybe they'll get humble and they'll approach him. He's the one that'll fix them. There ain't a thing I can do about a person's cravings. Not a thing. But God can. I can pray for him. That's what I got. I can pray for him. And if I know a verse, and God and the Holy Ghost opens their heart and softens it, that I may present that verse to them, and he gives me opportunity, and I feel led to do so, then I could do that. But don't just go casting verses on them. If they're not receptive, that'll harden them further. Oh. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The times I was an enemy to God, because I was a friend of the world, that convicted my heart. Couple years ago, this one right here hit it like a second hammer. Apparently that nail was still sticking up. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I thought of all the times I said crude things, vulgar things, filthy things, times I killed my testimony, times I laughed at vulgarity, filthiness and wickedness, all them times. Is that the abundance of my heart? I wondered that night, I found that verse. Is that what overflows? Is that what I'm so full of that it pours forth sin? That's awful. I want the abundance of my heart. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost. I want to be like a busted honey jar. Even the sinners get sticky on them around Old Colder. That's what I want. That's where I want to be. It's convicted my heart awful. The abundance of my heart. Even if I wasn't talking of simple, vulgar things, I'd be talking about old Mopars and guns. I love them things. I still love them. But I can't take them with me. And what I'm going to tell them, they can't take with them either. How about I tell them about Jesus? How about I overflow with Jesus? That way they can take it with them. Oh, they might see heaven because of what overflowed out of me. That's my desire. I ain't saying I'm there yet. God's still working on me. I fail every day. Oh, I walked into work after a week spent with Christians. Anybody using bad language was doing it in Spanish. If there was anybody, I don't know. But I tell you what, I walk in. I don't even think we're getting paid yet. First night back, Saturday to Saturday, among God's people doing God's work. Sat down, I don't even think we're on the clock yet. And they utter an old vulgar joke, and the whole room's laughing but me. And I ain't trying to say that to shine. There's times I'd have laughed at that joke. I'm glad I didn't. And what's bad is a young man that said that joke speaks in a Methodist church is known to be a good man. But they were saying, guess who told this joke? And then they told it. And the whole room laughed. And they said, that makes it even funnier, they said. It didn't make it funnier to me. I said, oh, buddy, it's going to be hard to win them men and women to the Lord now. After that, it is. Oh. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. I hope y'all remember that verse, or at least that portion of a verse. I've never forgot it. The night I found it, it stuck me it stuck my heart, grieved my heart. All the times, is that what it is, the majority of gold colder, that right there? And why call you me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I say, is verse 46. I know we're flesh, and that's our frame, and I know God will forgive us. But, ain't that bad. Ain't that bad. It's something to bear in mind. Yes. Oh, so, before I went on that first mission trip, I was a cold Christian. I'd go on Sunday mornings. Didn't hardly ever go on Sunday nights. And, I was cold, real cold, lukewarm. In a lot of ways, I was a friend of the world. And then I got offered to go on this mission trip by Brother Robert Barnett. That man means a lot to me. This old man offered me to go, and I expressed interest. I got an adventurous spirit, I reckon. I do. I can't help it. And I don't know if it was before I went or after I got back, but you see, my heart wasn't right. And I waited till just a week before or a few days before we left to decide. I didn't think my heart was right to do something for God. I thought that'd make me like a hypocrite, to act like a Christian and work for God like a Christian. And in my mind and in my heart, there's sin. I said, but also, on the other hand, here's this healthy, strong lad. I ain't never done nothing for God. Never won a soul. Hadn't even attended church like I should. Hadn't even helped myself, let alone somebody else. Now that conviction, I went, and then I got home. And at some point, I found this verse. Chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Everybody gets it wrong. They think that you got to get your mind right before you can serve God. That's a lie of the devil. You do what you know's right. You do what this word says, and God will establish your thoughts. There's always going to be birds flying over your head as long as you live in this carnal farm. But I'm here to tell you, you can keep them from building a nest. You just keep doing what you know's right, what God says. And He'll establish your thoughts. He'll take care of it. We don't take care of it. He takes care of it. You do what you know to be right. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. After a week of carrying buckets of mortar and mixing mortar on the ground, being in an old carnal frame, this old frame is going to die, making it do God's glory. Woo! Even the part of me that's going to die glorifying God? My thoughts was a lot better when I got home. It wasn't too long after that I got in the woods. And what we was reading about over there, where you get the pride out of the way and you humble yourself, I got down in the woods and I got serious with God. And He cleaned me up of that sin. I ain't saying I don't get a stray thought or a vile motion, but I'm saying God cleaned me up, and He cleaned me up good, and I ain't went back there yet. He set me in a broad place, like it says in Psalms. Y'all might remember after I got back, that was the first time I ever testified in this church. You called me up, and I stood there and testified. God let me overflow. Amen. He put another abundance in my heart. I like overflowing for God. I always want to overflow for God. So I went, and I did. Come next year, wasn't no way I was going to pass it up. Come a third year, wasn't no way I was going to pass it up. And every time He rewarded me. He rewarded me every time. Sometimes it'd be just something between me and Him. It'd overflow me, just me and Him. If I could pay to have that feeling of Holy Ghost coming out of me, if I could pay to be that in touch with the Master at any point in time, I'd give every cent I had. How do you get that? Sensitivity and obedience. Oh, you obey. Yes, sir, you obey. You give God what He wants. He'll reward you. Oh, I wanted friends to go with me. I really did. I even give some pesos, $10 peso, that's the biggest coin. I say, pray over this that you come with me and spend it. One of them, I believe, would have, but tragedy struck his family this year. A couple deaths of his mother-in-law and his own daddy. And you know that, my friend Barney. He couldn't have went if he wanted to just a week before burying his daddy. But God put Matthew in my way, my dear brother that I love so much, and he went with me. And I tell him he's like a Holy Ghost Geiger counter. He's sensitive. Ain't that good? I like being around somebody sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Oh, because I feed off that. If fire kindled up in his bosom, it'll catch in mine. We go to that first service, and the old devil tried to fight hard. The very first native man he met, we stay in a hotel, and it's called El Sultan in Takesh, which is a pretty poor city. And we go, and the night before we walk with the translator, Diego. He's like an old sinner coon dog. He led 7 people to the Lord this week. It sounds like we was cutting up, but we wasn't. We was just rejoicing. We say, he's on another one. Boo! Boo! And he goes, it's sick on, boy. And he won 7 this week. But we went and bought some chips and some drinks that first night, and we didn't even encounter no native people, really. We seen some from a distance. Next morning, we walk around the corner of the store, get something to drink before we go to church. We built this church 2 years ago, helped build it, the church in Takesh. And we knew they was a healthy church. They had raised the money to buy their own land and build 3 walls and run out of money. And Berea, the outfit I went with, heard of them and went and provided a roof. And we poured the concrete down the sides of the building and stuccoed it. And they ain't been lazy. But the next morning, he walked around the corner. And I heard him go, Colter, get over here. There's this man, shirtless man, staring at him. And I don't know if he's drunk or what, but he knew a little English. And he's going, come on, baby, and saying all this craziness. I never encountered such a thing. I believe it was the devil. It was a demon. I gave him a track, and he looked at it and kept talking foolishness. And we walked off. We didn't know what else to do to help him. And that was grieving my spirit, because I'm like, here he is. I brought him down here. I want the Lord to pour it on like He has me in years past. So we go on to church, and taxis there are a motorbike with a basket, and I'm hard on them taxis. Real hard on them taxis. But we got to church, and they ain't been slack. They'd poured columns out front. They had tiled the whole inside. Some shiny pearl white tile. It looked like they just mopped the floor. It was a gleaming. They had made the pulpit nice. They had already built bathrooms out back and stuccoed them and poured the back. It was a big crater in the ground where the bathrooms are going. They hadn't finished the inside of the bathrooms yet. But they had not been lazy. And that's just with what they had, you know. And Berea might have helped them some. I don't know that.
But we get there, and I start feeling the Holy Ghost. Because I'm seeing these people. There's a special service. They have Sunday service at night, I guess so people can work. But they call it a daytime service, a morning service, just for us visiting. And I can see these people walking down the street, little ladies and girls and boys and everybody in their Sunday finest, and you know the kind of houses they live in. And here they are clean, wearing as good a stuff as we wear, coming to praise God. I feel my heart start stirring. And I mentioned that same thing to my cousin, and we get in there. And you talk about a healthy church. It's packed out, even on a special service. They had a children's choir, a youth choir, a ladies' choir, and individual singing groups. And they let it rip. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, this is good, this is good. I wonder if he thinks it's good, because we don't understand Spanish, but boy, they're saying, glory, 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 adios. Do you know who they're singing about? I look over, his face is red, and my eyes is glassy, and that lip is a-quivering. He's about to bust. He said, if my wife was here for that children's choir, she'd done went out the door hooping and hollering. He was trying to stifle a war whoop. He didn't want to scare the natives. It's good. It's real good. Then they lined us all up, all the Americans that had helped, all of us, every one of us up in front of the church, and they prayed over us that the Lord would bless us. The whole church gathered and prayed over us, lined up. And then every member come through, and them kids, if they weren't paying attention, they'd jerk her hand over to shake her hand. They wanted their kids shaking her hands, and every little old lady there was jerked me down for a kiss. I ain't ever got so many Holy Ghost kisses. There wasn't no carnality to it. It was receiving a blessing, them older women. They'd jerk me down and lay her right on my sweaty cheek. They didn't care. Oh, it's a sensitivity and obedience. So he's sensitive. So the week goes on. And there's only one time that Lord laid something on me and me alone, and I obeyed. And he did Matt sometimes. And sometimes it'd be the both of us. And so we get to the town we're working in. It's a little old bitty village named Echek. About 7,000 people is, I think, what Google says. And it's tiny, dirt roads, out in the middle of nowhere. And there's a bigger nearby town now named Hope Elchin, which means the city of the five wells. And we stayed at a hotel in between the two. It was a rough hotel. But anyways. So, first night working, we decided to have church service, and Diego's going to preach. And old Matt, he says, I got to pray. I got to pray. I got to pray. Let's get on the bus and pray. I'm like, okay, okay. So we go, and we get on the bus, and we cry out unto God. That's the quietest place we could find. They told me they still heard us, but we tried to stifle it. But after we got out of that bus, we made a loop around that courtyard giving out tracts. We had to. That was after working all day, mixing concrete all day. But I tell you what, God made me feel like I hadn't even lifted nothing. The bags of concrete are 110 pounds apiece. A paper sack, 110 pounds, is contrary to get off the ground. It is. I tell you what. We got off that bus after praying, and we had handed out our tracts, and we were sitting there. And this public transit bus stops. And the door opens right there. We're in a basketball court in the city park. We got permission to use the city park. And the little driver gets off the bus and goes in the store. And I said, there's a bus with the door open. Why don't you go give him tracks? I said, no, he'll get right back on it. He'll get right back on it. Kept sitting there. Door still open. I'm like, oh. Kept sitting there. I said, I got to. And I take off running. Little man's coming out of the store. I said, uno momento, por favor. And I jump on the bus. And I run through there, give out 15 or 16 tracks, come through, hand him a track, say, gracias, and jump off that thing. I felt like a lion. I felt like Othniel, lying for God. I could have took anything when I got off that bus. I obeyed. I don't always obey, but I did that time. I tell you what, you'll never regret it if you do obey. You won't ever regret it if you do obey. It is never wrong to witness. It's hard to know God's will in all situations. You may not know who you're supposed to marry. You may not know where you're supposed to work, or if you should take this promotion, or if you do that, or you should do this. But I'm here to tell you, winning souls is always in the will of God.
You ignore them other things and you go win some souls, they might take care of themselves. Oh, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, this is how I know it's always the Lord's will. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not willing. It's his will that every soul make it to heaven. That's his will. He made provision. He sent his only begotten Son. But that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody in heaven. And if you try to tell them about Jesus, you're in his will. You might want to pray on how to do it, or that their heart be soft, or that you say the right words. But I tell you what, if that Holy Ghost is telling you to do it and you don't, that's awful. Awful. Oh, I got some more things. So I got home. And them seven souls were one down there. One was a little waitress of the family that cooked for us. They were saying they didn't even know where we'd eat all week because it's such a small place. And they hired this family. And Matt looked over at me and he said, there's going to be a culinary revolution when I get home, because that was the best food we've ever eaten in our lives. And it was $52 for the week. $5 a meal. They fed us 9 times. And on top of that, the little old girl, not on top of that, but a wonderful thing that happened is Diego, that old Christian coonhound, he led that little waitress girl to the Lord one day after breakfast. He stayed over. The bus waited on him. Her parents were already Christians. She got in too. Ain't that good? Worth it, cooking for all them big Americans. Got into heaven. So, on day two, the old boy was, I was mixing concrete the first 2 days. And on day two, they took the farms, raised them, we was pouring walls, is what we was doing. And they raised the walls and had a scaffold. And me and one other boy was only two tall enough, and I hadn't even been in there. I was out there mixing concrete on the mixer. And Matt came to me and he said, Sam wants to trade with somebody. He's dying in there. We'd made it about a fourth of the way around the walls. And I said, oh, yeah? And Matt, the pastor of the church, had already grabbed Matt and said, you do wheelbarrows, because apparently he thought Matt was stout and good at it. And Matt's a little bit shorter. And he said, I can't swap with him. It's over my head. So I go in there, and for the remainder of the first day, a couple hours, I set concrete buckets about eye level over and over. And we got to that last corner. Grace kicked in. Started singing. In Canaan land, I'm on my way. We got to that last corner. She was like peeking over into Canaan. We about had her whooped for the day. Yes, sir. I scuffed my arm, got concrete on it. I felt it a-burning. I went and rinsed it in the big drum. We had the water for mixing concrete. And it got kind of ugly the rest of the week. I got to work, showed it to medical, and they wigged out and give me antibiotics, but it's worth it. Kill that old body. Let that inner man get stronger. I don't want a scar. I want to keep doing it. Keep going on trips. And then day three, they had double scaffolds, so I only had to go chest high. Day four were the same. So that was the work. And then we bust rocks and put them to take up space in the walls to fill in some, so we wouldn't have to use as much mortar. And man, he's good. That was basically the work. We left enough money to do the roof, the floor, and the windows and the doors. And that was the work, but it took a lot of time. But it's quick when you tell what we did. But then we get home. And I told Matt, I said, God always gives me something when I get home. He'll reward us. He will reward us. We get home. In Ohio, we met friends out of Kentucky. They wanted to go to Ohio and gathered people as we went up and all flew out of Ohio just to fly on the same flight. And so we got back to Ohio, and the rest of the group wants White Castle. Yankee Crystal Burgers. No. Me and Matt were going, no, what's wrong with y'all? I said, the food down there didn't bother us, but that will.
And he goes, "You want a little biscuit with a patty on it?" Matt said. But they said, "We're going to the one on High Street." And as we went, turns out High Street is supposed to be the most dangerous street in Columbus. We go to the one on High Street. They're not there. Jamie calls them, and they're on South High Street. So Matt looks up the only other one that shows on Google. He goes on Google Maps, finds the only other White Castle on that shows up. And we go there, and they ain't there. And we look at one another. And we did not want White Castle. It's next door to a Jimmy John's. And Jamie said, "I'm not going to meet up with them. We got to get home." He said, "I'm going to go through the drive-thru." I said, "Me and Matt will go to Jimmy John's. You like sub sandwiches?" He's like, "Yeah, is that what it is?" I said, "Yeah, it's like Jersey Mike's. Let's go." So we go in there. And we walk up to the counter. Two old boys behind the sandwich counter. We're the only two patrons in the place. And a white boy and a black boy. Matt, I look at Matt, and we already had caught the fire anyways. And he goes, "You boys ever been saved?" And the one boy says, "I'm a Roman Catholic." He said, "I ain't been in a couple Sundays." And he goes, "To be honest, I'm not even real sure what her doctrine is," but he skedaddled. He didn't want none of it. That other old boy said, "I've been baptized." And Matt said, "Well, that's an outward show of what already happened on the inside." He said, "You got to get clean on the inside before you get dunked. That's just showing that you're clean." And then he proceeded to tell him, he said, "Man has separation from God because of what happened in the garden. Adam sinned and it separated him from God. And that to repair that separation, God sent his only son, Jesus, that lived perfect, to reestablish that fellowship with the Lord." And he walked him from the garden down through. He told him, he said, "It ain't for black men, it ain't for white men, it's for all men," he told him. And that old boy, at first, when he was first talking to him, that boy was sort of hesitant. And Matt said, "I guess he ain't ready." But then as he continued talking, that boy drew close. It was like watching him reel him in. He got over to us, and Matt said, "Would you like to be saved?" And he said, "I would." And he said, "When?" And Matt said, "Well, you can get saved right now." The old boy took that apron off, come around the counter. Still had the microphone from the drive-thru on. He come around that corner, and Matt said, "All you got to do is ask him to save you. I'll pray on this side, he'll pray on that side." Old boy had a skull tattoo on each hand, but we didn't care. I grabbed that hand, Matt grabbed that other hand. We knelt with him in the floor. I don't know what he asked, but it don't matter what he asked as far as I'm concerned, because I wasn't the one he was asking. He was talking to somebody else. Whoever he was talking to made him wipe tears from his eyes when he's getting up. Oh, I said, "Did you feel the sin leave off of you?" He said, "Yes, I did." "Good enough for me." And we got his name and address. I'm going down to Rock of Ages tomorrow, and I'm going to send him back a care package. I'm going to send him a Bible and some discipleship material. I got Brother Ricky Burnett, goes to church with Brother Ballou, and there's a basic Bible doctrine for beginning believers, or I think that's the name of it. It's a real sound workbook, and my friend Barney Field said that helped him more than anything because he didn't know nothing when he got saved. So Brother Burnett's supposed to have me at least one when I get down there tomorrow, and we're going to send it to him and some preaching. Also, the Northeast Revival team happens to be at Rock of Ages, I found out. So I'm going to get a list of Columbus churches, and I'll include that. And praise God. You know, I ain't the one that led him. Matt did the talking. But, you know, God's the one that does all the work. God convicted, and God's the one that saved him. All we did was obey. God rewarded that. That showed me something right there. Yeah, you go down there and you give out tracts and all you got to do is say, "Hey, Seuss," and they'll take them. And most of the time they'll thank you and only a handful will say no. But that showed me we're erring here. The old devil's got blinders on us. That old devil's got blinders on us. We think that they're like old underripe persimmons, that they'll bite our head off and they'll cuss us and that they're sour and firm and they won't soak up the word. That's wrong. That's a lie of the devil. Ooh,
On the way up, Matt had 92 chick tracks he had got for the church. And he said, I want these gone by the time we get to Houston. I do not want to take any of these to Mexico. That was our goal. So in one day, we got out 92 chick tracks. 50 of them went in about, around 50 of them went in about 5 minutes at a Greyhound bus stop. I seen it, and it caught your eyes, a neat-looking building. This is in Huntington, West Virginia. They call it Little Detroit. Wicked place, it's supposed to be. They called in the National Guard a while back because so many murders. I don't know. But I seen that bus stop. It had neon lighting and the old sign with the Greyhound. I just thought it looked cool. And I felt a little bit of a nudge. And when we came out, me and Matt came out early. We done handed out chick tracks inside the seafood joint we eat at. And we come out and looked. And the rest of them came out, and they wanted to go on to the Ohio, and this is in West Virginia. And I said, give us a minute. And I said, let's go hand out some tracks at that. And God timed it just right for us. There were buses coming in and buses going out, and they got boarding passes, but it wasn't for a Greyhound bus. We went through there. Some of them had the marks of sin on them. Some of them was high out of their minds. But y'all can remember after a while to pray when they sober up, when they reach in their pocket, that they'll find a little old piece of truth like I ain't ever seen before. This one little old girl, I felt so sorry for her. It's obvious she was on something, her and a man she was with. And I had them chick tracks, and she goes, ooh, those are pretty. And I said, what? She's like, you got any purple ones? And I was flipping through them trying to find a purple one. I mean, I'm going to give her what she wants. If she wants one, she'll get it. And I said, here's one that says baby, and it had a little baby on it. She goes, oh, no babies. I can't handle babies right now. I have no idea what was going on in her life, why she would say that. But I flipped through a few more, and I had a big old heart on it, and a love story was the title on that chick track. I said, how about a love story? She said, that sounds good. So that's what she got. Old Matt was eating it up. We went through that place, through them seats waiting on buses. There's the last seat in the back, facing the back wall. Matt went away around this way, giving this person on this corner a track. And this old boy seen him coming, and he got up to turn and walked right into my chest holding a chick track. He flushed him, and I got him. He took it from me. I guess I don't know why. Oh, you can have a good time with the Lord. The time you'll have with the Lord, you won't ever feel guilty for. Yes, sir. Good memories. Yeah, boy, that was just on the way to Mexico. Good times. Matt, he's doing a good job raising his little family. He's got a girl and two boys. His little old Boone's 5-year-old. He wants to be his daddy. He wants to be his daddy so bad that when his mommy took him to the Kingsport Old Navy, that he gave out 7 tracks. This 5-year-old boy gave out 7 tracks in the Kingsport Old Navy. And they say it's hard and they won't take it. I think it's because we won't try. It hurts my heart. People say that they're not ripe for the taking anymore in the States. I think they're overripe. I think it's because we're too lazy to even shake a tree and see what falls. Oh, I'm close to done, but I got one more little old verse I wanted to hit here. And let's see. It's in Galatians. And it's chapter 6 of Galatians. And I can't help but think of my country. I got home, they saying that I didn't even know nothing about this abortion business, and I got home. And if we had won souls, I believe it would change the polls. If a majority is what's making the difference, let's change the majority. I believe we can. Christian men and women don't vote for abortion. We need more Christian men and women. And it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. This is verse 7. Let's see. I'm sorry, let's skip up a verse to 6. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. If you've got a message, get it out. And each and every saved Christian person has one, and that's Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap, shall of the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Ghost, reap life everlasting. Oh, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I was talking about obeying and being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. It's easy to feed that old flesh. It's easy to not hand out a tract. Because it's just natural to say, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You about got to talk yourself into it. It's easy to sit down and watch this TV show. I'm guilty. I ain't preaching to y'all. I'm guilty. I do it often, and I regret it. How much more if I'd sown to the Spirit? If I'd gotten that word, and maybe God showed me a verse I could use the next day. Yeah. Instead of them old car shows I like, what's that going to help? Nothing. I ought to dig into sow where it'll count for something. Instead of reap corruption, instead of feeding that flesh, feed that spirit. Let that inner man get stronger. And it works even for your family. Instead of letting your children, and I ain't preaching against SpongeBob or whatever, but that's what seems popular and that's what comes to mind. These squealy children shows that drive adults crazy. Instead of letting them get plugged into that, what happened to the family altar? Let's sit down and read a few verses and have family prayer. And you're sowing to the Spirit, you're sowing to the Holy Ghost. And it says you'll reap life everlasting. You say, how can you reap that? Once you're saved, you've got it already. That's true. But if you'll sow to the Holy Ghost, you'll obey the Holy Ghost, you will reap life everlasting for somebody else. If you'll obey God and you'll sow to what God wants, souls will be saved. Maybe even your own children. Amen. They'll see it in you. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Oh, I'm glad I got Christian friends. I'm glad. I know this is a harsh message. Or it seemed harsh to me. Things that convicted my own heart. But I'll tell y'all, I love y'all, each and every one. And there ain't nobody I'd rather have praying for me while I was down there than y'all. Why he'd give me a harsh message for tonight, I know not. But maybe it'll help us. Maybe you'll remember some part of it. And old Brother Hooker, I'm thankful for some of the friends that wasn't with us. Old Brother Hooker wrote me and Matt both letters before we left. And he wrote in Matt's letter, he wrote, "Old Trump may want to build a wall to keep him out of America, and maybe rightfully so." He said, "But nobody can keep them out of heaven if they want to go." And old Brother Hooker, several people sent some tracts. Some sent a few and some sent, but Brother Hooker sent between 22 and 25,000 gospel tracts. We lost count. I know two boxes were numbered at 12,000 or 6,000 apiece, 12,000. Another box was even thinner, individual sheets, and it was heavier than them, so I guess it was 10,000 tracts. That's a guess. And then the other was little books called The Way of Life Made Easy. And we toted them down there. And we probably give out 1,000 or so between the small group. But those churches got them. And Brother Hooker has a life verse, and I'll read it to you. And I know I've kept you too long, I guess, but I'm excited. I'm sorry. Psalms 126. Brother Hooker has a life verse. I love that old man. Y'all probably figured that out by now. But it's a 126. And his life verse is this. It's verse 6 of 126. "He that goeth forth and weeping, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." If we'll take this seed, this gospel out, and we'll weep over it, we'll get serious with God. It says, doubtless, it will come to pass. If you'll take this gospel message, this seed, and you'll take it out and you'll sow it, oh, doubtless, it says, you'll come again rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. Take the gospel message. It may not sprout everywhere you sow, but if you sow enough, it'll sprout. And you don't know the men that'll come along in water, and it says God will give the increase. That's his life verse. Oh, they that, in the verse before it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We got something to be sad about. It sorrowed my heart coming back to work. As soon as I get off a plane, they're talking about killing our babies. I didn't even know nothing about it. And it just grieved my spirit. But he ain't stepped out yet. This ain't over yet. Go change somebody's vote. Make them vote heaven, not hell. Glory. Thank you all for your time.